Morning, guys. It's great to see you all again. It's been a while. Laureen and I have been doing our rounds and been visiting a number of congregations, and it's always nice to come home and to see all the warm, friendly faces and feel the love. It's also lucky to see Brett here and Josh all the way from Oz. Welcome. It's lucky to have you here. It means it's nice to have you here. We've got the Greer staying with us, Stuart and Kathy Greer. She goes back tonight and he leaves tomorrow. But we're trying to educate them in certain South African words. You know, it's like, what's lekker? So we have to try and explain what lekker is. You know, so it's nice to have you here with us. Andrew and Ems, they send their love to you guys. Andrew and Will and Lucas and Joey are currently in Australia. I'm ministering over there with the 412 churches, but I did spend some time with Andrew recently, and he said, please send the guys our warm love, and he looks forward to seeing you all in the not-too-distant future. And yeah, it's great. Josh Jen's doing well, and it's nice to be back here. So, Belinda, that testimony of yours was awesome. Well done. That's good to hear. Just Ruan did announce it, but if you didn't get a chance to sit under that teaching and of Stuart Greer, he is preaching in Sunningdale PM at 5 o'clock this afternoon. It is an open meeting. If you want to get the manual there, it is for sale. But if you do want to go, tonight's the night. It's his last evening with us before he heads off to the Eastern Cape to Oxygen Life. But so if you do want to see him, if you do want to sit under that teaching, if you believe you've got some, as Belinda said, some chochos or some demons inside of you, that's a place to be tonight at 5 o'clock. It will be 5 until about 8 o'clock, and then the ministry will be over. Awesome. Can you just close your eyes quickly? Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank you for this beautiful family known as Edgemead. Such wonderful people, Lord. And I thank you that your presence is here. We can just feel your tangible presence here this morning. Worship to you this morning, Lord, was awesome. And we trust that you received it as a fragrant incense into your throne room. And Lord, I pray that even as I speak this word, I preach this word, that your anointing will come and fall upon each one of us, that our hearts will be changed and our minds will be renewed, Lord, so that we can leave this place to glorify you. We never want to stay where we are. We always want to move forward. We want to move forward into your kingdom and move forward boldly into your kingdom to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So be with us this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that even as I preach this word, that your Spirit will lead me. Your Spirit will control this meeting. That your Spirit will convict and change hearts, Lord. So I submit this to you, Lord. I submit myself to you, Lord. Surrender all to you because you are worthy of all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So we've all heard the promises of God, and we get taught them in the Word, and some of us have them as fridge magnets, and some of us have them on decals on our walls or stickers on our walls. And I'll just read a couple of them out to you. That one of them is, we are more than conquerors. Amen. Oh, we love that. We get excited. We can do all things in Christ because He strengthens us. Amen. Yeah. If God is for us, who could be against us? Amen. Yeah, I've got that one on my fridge. We will be triumphant no matter where we go. Amen. See, the amens are starting to get. Yeah, yeah. No weapon formed against us will prosper against us. You guys haven't seen any of these words in Scripture yet. Every word spoken against us will be condemned. You see, and sometimes the enemy is going to come against us. We're going to say, no, no, this isn't from God. This is the enemy. We're just going to close our eyes and wish that it goes away. But the problem is that he doesn't go away. And unless you go through some kind of a deliverance, either with somebody praying on you, or like Belinda, she was able to study that manual and say certain prayers, and this demon decided to pop out of her, which is awesome. So she's set free. She's not going to suffer from any more migraines. She's going to stand on the hilltop and proclaim the good news of Jesus. And the problem with all of us is that we try once, we try the second time, and then we give up. And we just sit back and say, oh, this is my lot in life. This is exactly where I'm meant to be, and we get stuck here. In fact, we get so stuck that the only thing is we feel obliged, and it's out of duty that we come to church on Sundays. And we come to church on Sunday, we're hoping to get filled. We're hoping to say, oh, this message is just what my wife needed or just what my husband needed. It wasn't for me, but today this message is for everybody. Amen? And we don't want to remain where we are. We want to move forward into the kingdom. And we get stuck sometimes. And I'm hoping that today we can all move forward into where God has called us. So I'm going to read from Romans 8:31 to 39 out of the Amplified Version. And this will help us to know how to stand when we face adversity. This will help us to know how to stand when we're facing attacks. This will help us to know how to position ourselves to move forward into the more of where God's called us. So let's pick it up. Romans 8:31 to 39. What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? How awesome is that? Who can be against us if God is for us? If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you're sitting here for the first time, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're going to face life on your own. But once you commit your life and say, yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, guess what? You're never facing life and life's challenges on your own anymore, because God is now for you. You are His. He's going to look after you. Who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all the other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? When it is God who justifies, when he's talking about God's elect, he's talking about us, all of us. We are God's elected. Will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in a right relationship with himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us, who is there to condemn us? Really, who is there to condemn us? And all of us wake up in the mornings or during the day and we hear this little voice behind us. You are not worthy. You know, you're just a loser. You are, you know, whatever the lies your boss has called you, your friends have called you, your colleagues have called you, you start believing that little voice saying, you're just a loser. You're not worth it. You are, you know, you're born on the wrong side of the railway line. Will God, who acquits us, okay, is there anybody to condemn us? Well, Jesus Christ, the Messiah who died, or rather was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God actually pleading as he intercedes for us? How awesome is that? Just a wonderful piece of scripture that Jesus right now is sitting next to God, the right hand side of God, and he's interceding for each one of us. He's saying, God, don't forget about Sean and Cheryl. Just love them so much. Just pour out your blessing over them. You know, they're my special children. I gave my life up for them. Rian, sitting here in the front. God, don't forget about him. Bless him, Lord. He's going to face adversity. Let's put a hedge of protection around him. He's interceding for each one of us by name. Who shall ever separate us from God's love? Who shall ever separate us from God's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution, or hunger, or destitution, or peril, or sword. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and encountered as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors. Amen. We are more than conquerors in all these things. Doesn't matter what you're facing in life. Jesus is saying, you are more than conquerors. And gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things impending or threatening, nor things to come or nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. How awesome is that scripture? It's one of my favorite pieces of scripture. It's so reassuring. If you're really struggling in life, this is one that you need to go and study. This is one you need to go and pray about. This is one that you need to meditate on. How do we do this? We do it through faith. We do it through spending time in God's Word. As I said, we pray into this and say, God, what is it that you're saying about me? What is it that you're saying? Give me words that will enlighten me. Give me this word. Let me study this word that encourages me. Give me this word. I'm going to hold on to this word because this is what strengthens me. This is what's going to make me more than conquerors than anything else. Colossians 2:15 says this, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Christ in us is our hope and glory. Not anybody else. You know, we can look at Rian, you can look at Kim, you can look at Brett, you can look at the rest of the elders here, Dave, Ulrich, really, whoever it may be. No, it's not them. It's Jesus in us that's going to give us the hope. Jesus in us that is the power. He's our hope of glory. He dwells here and He walks with us and He is ultimately, when we talk about conquerors, He is our champion. Now, what is a champion? A champion is somebody that has been victorious over many, many battles. He stands head and shoulders above everybody else. There's nobody like Jesus. I mean, in fact, there's no champion that can compare to the champion who Jesus is. He stripped the enemy of all his power. There's nothing that the enemy can do to you. He took the keys of death and hell away from Him so that we can have life, life in abundance. And we have a champion who resides within us. His name is Jesus. Amen? But one of the missing ingredients which you and I lack sometimes is one simple word. It's called passion. We don't have enough passion. We come to church and we don't pay attention. We start thinking of other things like, oh, I wonder what we're going to have for lunch. I wonder what time Kim's going to finish. I wonder what Rian's going to speak about afterwards. Oh, I wonder what we can do this afternoon. I wonder if Liverpool's going to play today or no, it's next week. Manchester United, whatever. And this is just a time, you know, because out of duty and out of compulsion, I've just got to come here. Come on, hurry up. It's already 10:30. There's another half an hour to go. Then we can be out of here. And then I wonder what God's going to do to me. I wonder if God's actually going to do anything to us. You see, we start lacking passion. We start lacking zeal. And I remember, you know, a good example of people being passionate. Now, just imagine this. We are all about to go out and play a game of rugby, and we're sitting in the locker room, and I say, come on, guys, today's the day. We're going to beat that team. Remember last time we beat them? We beat them 56-0. Let's get out there and let's slaughter them today. Let's cut them 100-0 today. And everybody's like, yeah, 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 let's go, let's go. And you've got your gear on. You can't wait to go out there. That's not how we are in church. That's not who we are about who Jesus is. That's not about the champion that we're serving. He's saying to you guys, come on, you can run through walls. I love that we went to the elders camp at the beginning of the year, and Andrew was giving some examples, and he told all the elders about the new structure, the new portfolios, and he spoke about Russell, and he spoke about myself, and he used this example. He says, so Russell is very safe. He's like a one heel guy. You know, got to take this heel, and Russell will look at the heel circumspectively, and he'll say, okay, guys, the best way to do this, okay, how many people have we got? Let's just do a little bit of training, a little bit of development, take one step, look at it again, analyze, assess, and do whatever it is. He says, Kim, on the other hand, he sees three heels, and he just says, come on, guys, let's run through the three heels. And we just get all excited, and we take all three heels, and irrespective of the consequences, we run through walls. I think Graham Messicker said, if you want to listen to a good teaching, safe, you sit under a tree in the shade, Mike DeFay is your guy. But if you want to run through walls, Brett's your guy. Brett will help you run through walls. The Bible tells us that Jesus Himself was clothed with a cloak of zeal. And as He was clothed with a cloak of zeal, so He wants us to be passionate about what he's doing all the time. You see, normally our battle is against one another. Our battle is, hey, have you heard what David did? Oh, but Martin, oh, he did something else. Or that person. We tend to battle one against the other. But the battle's not against us. Our battle is against the spiritual realm. And that's where we need to take on God's word. We need to put on that cloak of zeal and say, no, God, I can do this. If you for me, I can do this because I know what you have said. And we can't be lethargic when we come into the things about God. We've got to be excited. We've got to be filled with passion. We've got to be filled with zeal. Say, God, I can do this because I know it's not me. It's not my strength that I'm doing this. It's not my understanding. It's you that's in me that's going to help me win this victory. The word champion is actually used in the story of David and Goliath. And most of you guys know the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And Goliath was a champion. I mean, he was this huge guy. He was over 3 meters tall. And he took on the world, and he was able to defeat many guys. I mean, the guy said, you know, 3 meters tall. His spear weighed 5 kilograms, and his armor weighed another 24 kilograms. And he had an arms bearer, and he was this guy. And he used to come up early in the mornings and shout to everybody, hey, where are you guys? And the Israelites, they backed away. They were so nervous and so scared of this champion. And even when they referred to him, when David came up, his father sent him, says, Jesse sent David and said, David, go and take some cheese and biscuits to your brothers who are at battle. And when he arrived there, this Goliath, this giant, this Philistine was taunting them. Who do you think you are? You guys are just a bunch of dogs. I'm going to annihilate you. Let any man come down here and beat me. And if he beats me, then we, the Philistines, will serve you. And David arrives there, the little delivery boy, with his bread basket, and he hears this Philistine shouting, who do you guys think you are? And he says, who's this guy? And they didn't say, oh, that's Goliath. He said, he is the Philistine champion. He is the, no, that's status. He is the Philistine champion. We can say, Jesus is the Christian champion. Nothing can defeat him. Nothing, not even death, can defeat him. And I love the story of David and Goliath, and we'll read a little bit and I'll finish a little bit later with another story, which will just bring everything together quite nicely. But the interesting thing about the Israelites and their armor on their shields, they had three words written. The first word that they would refer to on the inside of their shields, when they hold their shield up, was a word called Rak. R-A-K. And this means only victory. If you pick the shield up, you're not saying you're going to lose. No, no. There's going to be victory. There's an oomph behind you. There's a spiritually zealous heart. Says, no, I can. We can do this. We're going to win. If God is for us, who can be against us? The second word is jizak, which means a whitening of knuckles. You hold that shield and your sword so firmly that your knuckles go white. You don't give up. You're going to be zealous. You're going to win this fight. Says it's possessing a resolute and growing result of the glory of God. So they combined the two, rak tzak, and that became their war cry. When the Israelites wanted to defeat the Philistines, they used to stand there, rak tzak, rak tzak, rak tzak. That was their war cry. It's their battle cry. All strength and courage for the glory of our God. That's what those two words mean if you combine them together. All the strength, all courage for the glory of our God. So I'm going to go into battle and I'm going to win for the glory of our God. And then the third word that was inscribed, carved out with a dagger or a knife on the inside of the shield is the word amat, A-M-A-T-S, amats. That means you're going to run headlong into battle, full speed, no hesitation, even into the hottest of battles, I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to even consider defeat, because if God is for me, who can be against me? I'm going to win this fight. It wasn't even an option. So when they combined Jizak and Amat, all strength for him in the face of sure death. Now, how many of us would sit here right now and say, If death had to walk in here right now in the form of a terrorist, one of these ISIS guys, and you know he's holding a machine gun and he's about to open fire like the guy did in the mosque in New Zealand recently, how many of us would jump up and rush headlong, a mutt, towards this guy to take him out? It'd be like a must. A mutt. I'm going to run headlong. I'm going to take this guy on. Even if there's a threat over my life, I'm going to run into him because I've got God on my side and God will protect me. God is my Savior. You see, we need to take on the mentality of a spiritual warrior. We need rock to become ours. When you're suffering and you're feeling tormented, you're feeling weak, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling depressed, you must start saying, rock, rock, rock. All glory to God. Jesus said that we are more than conquerors. That is where if we go into battle, not beat down or intimidated, not like, ach, I'm such a loser. That's just another preach. What is this rock? A mutt. Oh, no, it's not going to work for me. You won't get anywhere if you don't change your position. 1 Samuel 17:51 to 52, it's the story of David. It says, then David ran and stood over the Philistine, and remember, he ran and stood over the Philistine and took out his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout. Rock! They shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded of Philistines fell on the way from Shiram as far as Gath and Ekron. It was interesting, you know, that when David arrived at that camp, his brothers were absolutely and totally annoyed with him. And these are the voices that we hear as well. You know, what are you doing? I know Dad sent me. I'm like the delivery boy. You guys are obviously hungry. You've been sitting out here for 40 days. This guy, this Philistine heathen monster, he's been shouting at you guys. Now, clearly you're hungry. So Dad sent the basket. Now, David at that stage was between the ages of 13 and 15 years old. Just imagine a little 13-year going into battle. He's about as tall as me, maybe a little bit shorter. And the guy was over 3 meters tall. And he says, but who is this Philistine? Oh, no, he's the Philistine champion. And he looks at this, and he's like, but surely the battle is not ours. Surely the battle is God's. Surely. I mean, God prepped him. He prepped him in the wilderness that when he was looking after his father's sheep, he sent a bear to take on, to take one of his sheep for a meal. And he was entrusted while looking after the sheep. And he pursued this bear and single-handedly he defeated this bear and he snatched the sheep out of the bear's jaw. A little bit later on, a lion came onto the scene. And he defeats the lion, same story. And now he's standing there in front of Saul, and Saul says, who are you? You're a young 13-year-old boy. And he says, well, actually, I've been well-equipped. I've been well-trained. He says, tell me about your training. He says, I've killed a bear and I've killed a lion. I'm not going to be defeated by this voice that's shouting insults to God's people. And his brother said, who do you think you are? He said, no, I know who I am. I know who I am in God's kingdom. You need to know, as we sit here today, who you are in God's kingdom. Accepted as sons and daughters. Accepted as beloved. And then I love in verse 48, it says, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. He didn't hide behind this rock. Here comes Goliath. And run. Okay, I'm going to get closer. Run. There he goes. No, he ran out. He picked up 5 pebbles, he put them in his sling bag, and he ran towards him. It's like one of those movie scenes, you know, where the guy runs towards battle and he jumps slow motion in the sky. But he had a sling. Looked like Interflora. And he hurls a sling, hits Goliath. Goliath drops down dead. And then, in verse 51, then David ran. Okay? Chazak, he ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. There he was. Boom. Cut off his head, held it up, showed the Philistines. Philistines turned and they ran in fear. And David said, today, you're going to die. Because today, this battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. How awesome. And that you need to remember. The battle that you're fighting, the battle that you're waging in your heart and your mind is not yours, it's the Lord's. You've just got to give it to him and say, God, but we're going to run into this. Rakamot, I'm going to do this. So even though we have heard the lies for years and have started to believe them, we can't listen to the lies of the enemy telling us the same thing over and over and over again. We are losers. We can't prosper. We can't be healed. No rubbish. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong, not in your strength. Be strong in the Lord and in his might. We are champions in Jesus. Rock will drive out the fear and intimidation. We are winners. We are healed. We just heard how Belinda was set free and how she's been healed. We are more than prosperous in Jesus Christ. And the zeal and the passion becomes ours. Philippians 1:28 says this out of the Amplified Version. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God. Not from you, it's not what you can do, it's what God does for us. So don't sit here. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. So I go to gym, and I know some of you are waiting for that turn. I'm trying to get into shape, round is a shape. But anyway, you know, you do sets with dumbbells. So you've got to do 4 sets, and you've got to do 12 reps. Now, normally, you do the first set, goes quickly and easily because you're still fresh. Then you pick up the dumbbell. Second set goes a little bit better. The third set, it's like, and then your fourth set, you like got these dumbbells, and it's like, and you know, you're looking at yourself in the mirror over there. You're supposed to be looking at your form to make sure that your arms aren't going here, but you're looking at your expression in your face. And I thought to myself, now just imagine if this terrorist had to come into this hall now, and he went up to Laureen, he knows that Laureen's my wife, and he held that AK-47 against her brain. What would I do? What strength I couldn't muster? So now I was on like number 10, and suddenly, 11, 12, 13, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. And eventually by the time I got to 36, I was, I got up to 36 on the fourth set. It was just amazing what capacity we actually got. Now, many of us don't realize how much capacity we've got. We just sit here and say, no, somebody else has got to do it. Kim can run through walls, Brett or Rian can run through walls, but I can just sit here and somebody's going to fix me. Now, God's called each one of us to fix ourselves, and he will turn the circumstances around for you to help you, but you've got to take that step out. You know, we all know that statement. You know, if you don't walk on water, step out of the boat. But many of us are just like, this boat, it's like a cruise liner. It's not a battleship. We're just going to sit here and just coast along very nicely. We've got to run into the battle because when you get there, you'll see when you run, rakamats, when you run into battle, you'll see that the enemy's already gone. He's been defeated. And end with this final story. Kings, I'm going to read a portion from chapter 7, verses 3 to 20. But before we go there, I'll read, because I didn't give it to Mike, just to give you some reference. Ben-Hadad, he was a king, and he went to war against the Samaritans. And so they surrounded the city of Samaria, and it got so bad that a famine and a drought fell over this Samaria. I mean, it was shocking. They couldn't get out to go and get water. They couldn't get out to go and get grain. They couldn't go down to the market to go and get supplies. And they were besieged. They couldn't go anywhere. Now, how bad is bad? How bad is this? Take this into consideration. A donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver. More than 3 years' wages. You could buy a donkey's head to eat. A cup of pigeon poo. Yeah, in the Bible. It says, yeah, the seed lasted so long that donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a cup of dung, a dove's dung, poo, sold for 5 pieces of silver. I mean, who, would you guys go and eat pigeon poo right now? Never. I mean, I'm sitting on the cruise liner. And one day the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, and he was dressed underneath his robes. He had sackcloth. He was like, oh, I'm so furious. And this woman ran up to him and says, King, you've got to help us. And help me. He says, what's wrong? You know, what's up? I mean, we're all starving. I mean, you know, have you seen how few horses are left in this place? Well, that's all we've eaten. She says, no, my friend and I, we came to an agreement. We came to an agreement that if we kill and eat my son today, tomorrow we'll kill and eat her son. And so we killed my son and we ate him. Now it's her turn to kill her son, but she doesn't want to kill him. And the king's like, what is going on? And he's getting infuriated, he's getting upset, because how could this happen to their people? Their people are eating their own children. See, in the word. So he gets cross and he says, listen, God allowed this to happen because of Elisha, the prophet. So he sends out, he says, surely as I live, by the end of today or tomorrow, I'm going to take Elisha's head. Because we can't continue like this. This is embarrassing. Now we pick it up from chapter 7, and if you can just shoot directly to verse 3. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? Now, these guys were outcast. They had leprosy. They weren't allowed to come in to close contact with anybody because they thought if you touch them, you're going to get leprosy. Now, who's heard of that expression? It's only a stone throws away. Yeah, who's heard of that expression? It's a stone throw away. You know that expression comes from being a leper? As far as you could throw a stone, that's how far they had to stay away from you. Because if a leper came into the city or into the town, they would pick up stones and throw them. Don't come near me, but I don't want to catch your disease. So that's just by the way. If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. So it doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter what situation you're facing right now, it's just hopeless. We're going to die. If we go there, they're going to kill us. Maybe they won't. Then we will live. But if we don't go there, we're going to die because if we can't go there, they've got no food. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord, just read that with me, for the Lord. Who? The Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of the chariots and horses of a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. Money, they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and they drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. Isn't that amazing? That's what we all tend to do. There's riches here for me. I'm just going to eat. I'm going to line my pockets and forget about the rest. But I love this. Then they said to each other, we're not doing right. It was a conviction from God. We're not doing right. There's a whole city. There's a whole place called Cape Town. There's a whole area called Edgemead. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. Don't we do that? Don't we sit here and say, I'm all right, Jack. I've got my get out of jail card, or in fact, get out of hell card in my back pocket. I gave my life to the Lord, so I'm cool. Doesn't matter about my neighbor, doesn't happen about my colleague, doesn't matter about my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, whatever the case is, I'm all right. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. That's the conviction. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, we went into the Aramean camp and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys and the tents just left as it were. The gatekeeper shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. The king got up in the night and said to his officers, I'll tell you what the Arameans have done to us. See this? Oh no, there's always a catch. Kim, there's a catch here. No. Christianity is not that simple. There's always a catch. I remember when I was praying for the managing director of Calvin Klein International, and he wanted to know why I don't drink, and I spent 2.5 hours sharing my testimony and telling him how wonderful Jesus Christ is. And he says, so what do I have to do to become a Christian? I says, nothing. You just got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He says, surely it can't be that easy. Surely it can't be that easy. No, it's that simple. They know we are starving, so they've left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out, and then we'll take them alive and get into the city. One of his officers answered, have some men take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Now, can you imagine that? This is like the funny part. Yeah, in the city, I mean, horses are with gold. There's only 5 left. Can you imagine these horses? They're all thin and scrawling. There's no meat left on them. Now take these horses and saddle them up, and we're going to go into battle against this massive army that's surrounding us. You imagine these scrawny little horses running out there, pulling chariots behind them. To me, it's so funny. But they must also be thinking, hey, I'm no longer lunch. I'm no longer supper. We're going to go into battle. Rakamats! We're going to do this. So they selected 2 chariots with the horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, go and find out what has happened. They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong fight. Who did the fighting? So the messengers returned and reported to the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seah of the finest flour sold for a shekel and 2 shears of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said. Can you believe that? I mean, you have these guys where they were surrounded. Famine had set into their fortified city. They couldn't get out there. They were starving. They were killing each other. They were living off each other. They didn't lift the sword. They didn't go into battle. But then they ran out there at that moment. Why? Because of 4 lepers. The place was deserted. It seems that God had caused the Syrians to hear this marching of a mighty army. Can you imagine there, sitting in your tent, drinking, eating, fat horses and donkeys outside? They're not worried about being killed and eaten for lunch. And next thing you hear this roaring sound of an army, swords clashing, shields. You hear that battle cry, Ratzamats! And they hired thousands of men to come and defeat us. And they just drop everything. They turn and run. They forget their gold. They forget their silver. They forget their clothing. They forget their horses and their chariots. And they leave everything there. These guys in Samaria, they didn't lift a hand, only to go and collect the food, collect the plunder, to collect the money and the food for themselves. God, it was God's victory. It was God's battle. And the situation was, just as a reminder, when these 4 outcasts, and many of us believe that we are an outcast. Oh, God can never use me. I'll just come here and I'll just park here like this. God can use every single one of you. God desires to use every one of us. It's not just for those that you believe have been called. It's not just for those who have been anointed. No, it's every single one of us. God wants to use you. Now you say, oh yeah, but you know, Kim, if you knew my background, Now listen, these guys were worse off than you could ever be. I mean, they were filled with a disease. They were classified as unclean. They weren't even allowed in the city. Nobody would give them maybe just a morsel of food every now and then because somebody felt sorry for them like a charity case. And that's who sometimes we want to be. We want to be the outcast of society. I'm a Christian. Nobody must know about it. The most persecuted religion in the world today is Christianity. And we keep quiet about it as opposed to us standing on the hilltop. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. This battle is not mine, it's God's. And if He's for me, who can be against me? You can see now, I can start living and talking the Scriptures because I am God's hands, I'm God's feet, I'm God's mouthpiece to a nation that is lost. Deliverance had already been given by the time the guys went out to go and see where the Arameans were. The enemy was defeated. Provision had been given. But yet, in that city, there were still people living in famine. Nah. The Israel officer, he said, even if God had to open the windows of heaven, we will not be able to defeat this army. And God will not be mocked. And as the people ran out to go and see the good news, to go and collect their plunder, this guard was standing at the gate and the people ran over him and they killed him in their rush to get outside. See, there's good news for each one of us. We can't allow ourselves and we can't allow the people around us to starve of the good news. We do not do well if we're not telling our city about Jesus, our Savior. You have been saved. You have been given the plunder. You have been given a reward. Your reward, you may not be experiencing it right now. Some of us aren't walking in a blessing. But we all know this, the day that you committed your life to Jesus Christ, He said to you, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you, a place in heaven. My Father's house has many rooms, He says, and one of them is for you. You don't have to work for that. You don't have to labor for that. He's just going to give it to you. He's going to say, Dave, come into my home. Everything that I own as my son belongs to you. You're here. Come in. Shaman, everything that belongs to me. This is God speaking. Everything that belongs to me belongs to you. You're here. Did you work for it? No. You know who worked for it? Jesus Christ, the day that He was crucified. He took upon all our sin, every single sin, current, past, and future. And He died on the cross. He became sin for us. But He was also raised from the dead after 3 days so that you and I could enter into the kingdom, enter into the throne room boldly and look at our Father and say, Abba, Father, my King, my Lord, my Savior. So all I ever want is to be in your throne room to worship you and praise you. You paid the ultimate price for me. The price was paid the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I. What do I have to do? Accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. What else must I do? Be bold. Be faithful. Rock. 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 And we go into the battle that we face each day. Rock, chizak, rock, chizak, rock, chizak. Because this battle is not ours, it is God's. And just as David defeated Goliath, just as this army that surrounded this city was defeated, rock, amatz, the victory and the glory belongs to God. Amen? I wonder if we can stand quickly. You can close your eyes. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us into a place where you want us to to be bold. Not because of who we are in our own strength, but what you have created. Jesus Christ who is in us. You strengthen us, you empower us, and you ask us, Lord, to serve you passionately and zealously, Lord. So I pray right now, Lord, firstly, that each one of us is filled with a new passion, a new zealousness, Lord. Lord, that we can shout, Rak, Rak, Rak Tzak, Rak Tzak, Lord. Because, Lord, we know the battle is not ours, it is yours. And as this, the enemy has already been defeated. We know the end from the beginning. We know, Lord, that he has been defeated and nothing will hold us back, Lord. You will strengthen us, you will empower us, you will guide us by your Spirit and by Jesus Christ who lives in us. But some of us may not know who Jesus is, or some of us do not know or do not have a relationship with Jesus. It's like, Kim, I've heard this. I know I cannot fight my battles alone any longer. I need Jesus. I need his power. I need his Spirit. I need his presence in my life. I need my sins to be forgiven. I need to walk into all that God has called me. I need to walk in my destiny. I want to embrace that battle cry. Rak Amatz. Rak Shazak. If you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why don't you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you and say, yes, Lord, let this person be defeated from the jaws of death, from the jaws of hell, into your kingdom, into a place of eternity. And if that is you, just raise your hand quickly. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Many of us have committed our lives to the Lord. Many of us are walking into what God has called us. Many of us are glorifying God. God has given you an opportunity. If your heart's pumping and beating a little bit fast, that's just the Spirit, is that conviction. Just as those four lepers were convicted, said, we do not do well. Maybe that's you today and say, I do not do well. I need to serve Jesus with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. Is there anybody? For the rest of us. Father, I just pray that each one of us accept the battle cry. We accept, Lord, that if you're for us, who can be against us? We accept, Lord, that we are more than conquerors. Your word says so, Lord. But Lord, we don't just want to read that. We don't just want to know it, Lord. We actually want to live it. We want to experience this, Lord, not by our strength, but by the power that you bless us with through your Holy Spirit that's inside of us. Lord, we believe that we can do all things through Christ because he is the one who strengthens us. Lord, we also believe that if you are for us, then who can be against us? By simply praying, we can get rid of that enemy. By simply believing in faith and trusting your word, we can defeat the lies of the enemy. Lord, we believe that wherever we go, we can be triumphant because we are guided and we are led by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that you desire nothing more than obedience. And we want to be obedient to your word. We only want to do that which you want us to do. We only want to say that which you want us to say, Lord. We want to live as people that are victorious, not people that are losers, not people that have been defeated. We believe that Jesus, when you rose from the dead, that death lost its sting. It no longer has any power over any one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.